Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Get peace of mind for your health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're very welcome back. 51551. Our ageless visiting critic has entered the studio. Welcome, Dana. Visiting critics, of course, they review something for you that they would never normally do of their own free will. We get them out of their comfort zones into their discomfort zone. And for this week's Critic for Day, explore the world of traditional Irish brush dancing. The winner of Eurovision 1970, she ran for president twice, served as an MEP and still sings her heart out. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you.
You're a hugger, I noticed. You're hugging all of us this morning.
I think it's very important to hug people.
Yeah, it's scientifically proven.
Absolutely. I tell them it's fat-free. One of the few things in the world.
never worried about calories when it came to hugs before. Okay, but now you give me a different perspective. You've done a lot in your life, as we know. Not many zones left unvisited for you. Do you enjoy putting yourself into a bit of a challenge?
No, I don't enjoy it.
You don't?
I find that it wouldn't be something I'd jump at myself.
Okay.
But if it kind of meets you, then I think you should definitely go for it because you learn a lot about yourself.
True.
Now, as I don't know if your wonderful researcher, Adam, told you, but this was not on my list of things that I wanted to do.
That's right.
The only brush I mentioned was a paintbrush.
And you are a painter.
No, I'm not a painter, but I love sketching. And when I did paint, by the time I got the colour I wanted in the palette, I was at the end of the palette and I didn't have enough paint to put it, and then I didn't know how I got there. So I did say I'd love to know how to mix the colours. But I ended up with a substantially bigger brush.
One for dancing.
One for dancing.
So you what kind of hobbies do you do? Sketching, you said.
I like sketching, but we have grandchildren and actually you don't do much sketching. I'm now learning the moves of Ronaldo.
It's really sad.
Yes.
That's for one of the grandkids who's
big
football
fan. Oh,
yes,
both of the grandkids, and they're amazing. So I tell them that I taught Ronaldo everything he knows. And I don't know why the look of doubt comes over their face, Oliver.
Ronaldo's 40, so it's kind of amazing to that.
Oh, when I get to be 40, I might stop.
maybe so. You like sketching. Would you be sketching landscapes when you do get the time and the grandkids aren't taking up all your time?
Well, I do. I do like landscapes. And I just, it's very therapeutic and I enjoy it.
You've always done it?
I did, yeah, from a child, yeah.
From childhood, singing all along the way. What else? Are there other hobbies we don't know about?
Well, I used to love embroidery.
Used to?
Uh-huh. Again, it takes a lot of time. And I knew nothing about embroidery. And Oliver, I discovered that my grandmother on my father's side, who died before I was born, was a professional embroiderer.
All right.
And I don't know, when I started to do it, I just felt something inside went, oh, I love this.
It's in the blood.
It must be. I'm sure things pass on, you know.
And you don't do it now?
I know I would do it, but I just don't seem to have time. It's the dribbling that gets me, see, the Ronaldo dribble. I just have to concentrate on that at the moment.
It sounds like the grandchildren take up a lot of your time.
Oh, yes. And I mean, you have to get fit or die. So I was glad I left the choice to Adam and possibly your team or possibly yourself. And I did tell
Adam all the way.
If I survived, I would come in and do the programme.
God.
But here I am.
We didn't tell the insurers that. But
I might have said you'll hear from my lawyer.
Oh, no. Come here. You live in the west of Ireland these days, in Galway.
We do. We live in Galway.
For a fair while now, over 10 years.
It's the longest we've lived anywhere.
Is it?
We're there. I'm not going to get my maths together, but we're there since 1999.
Oh, right. OK, that's 26 years now. And you were born in London?
Born in London, raised in Derry.
Were you a toddler when you came to Derry?
I was about 5 or 6.
Oh, were you? OK, so you might have memories of... Do you have memories of that?
I do have quite clear memories of London. We lived in Frederica Street. Mm-hmm. And I had a little friend lived across the street called Loopy Lou. And we lived in one of those big Georgian houses, you know, where you walked in and down steps to the kitchen and then the different floors above.
Wow.
And, you know, funny thing. One of my sons was working in London, and I happened to be in conversation a couple of years ago with him, and I mentioned Frederica Street, and he said, I used to jog to work down Frederica Street.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
It's a posh street, is it?
Well, it is now.
It is now.
It is now. Then it was kind of after the war and it was bomb damaged and, you know. But
tumbled down.
Great people. Great people.
And Derry, how long did you actually live in Derry then? Because you moved.
Well, up until Eurovision.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you were a teenager, weren't you? A couple of years after that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. All through my teens. And a couple of years after that. And then the travel became impossible because at that time you'd have to get back to Belfast on a flight and drive a couple of hours to Derry.
On merciful roads.
Oh, and often I'd get my suitcase to the bottom of the stairs and I'd never get it up the stairs.
Really?
Yeah, just continually moving.
And where did you move to then?
And then I moved to London. We lived first with my uncle in London, and then I bought a house in the north of London, and we were very, very happy there. Yeah.
And in America, was it Alabama you were in?
We were in Alabama.
Did you spend long there?
We were 8 years there.
Oh, 8 years. Okay, so you've surpassed.
8 years. Yes. And you know, I didn't really want to go to Alabama because I had the only, in fact, I wasn't keen to live in America because I only had experience of what I saw, streets of San Francisco and Miami Vice, you know what I'm saying?
Two very different worlds.
Oh, definitely, definitely different. And for Alabama, like dirt tracks and burning crosses on the lawn. And I was
burning
really,
crosses?
Well, that's what you see in
films.
That's
the imagery from film, yes, I guess.
That's what you see. And we went there and the people were just beautiful. And we grew to love it very much and we made lots of friends there. So it's a lesson through life, you know, take people as you find them.
Yeah, you can have a view of a place. No more exactly. than the Americans have a view of Ireland and not understand the country as it is today.
But of course it is true. We do have leprechauns and we do have fir trees.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We have covered this program for sure.
Yeah.
I'll come back to brush dancing in a second, but sorry, we've got a different route here. Was it roasting in Alabama all the time?
Oh God, I got there in October. The family got there in August. I just thought I might as well just die because all my clothes were from here, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you're dressed for Ireland.
And the humidity, it was unbelievable. And it really took getting used to. Of course, kids, they are just so quick. They're out running about and you're just like vaping away, dying.
Vaporising.
Yes.
And what was it? Did you live in a city or were you out in the country on a rocking chair and a porch?
Well, I'll tell you, we did have a porch.
Did you? Lovely,
and we did have a rocking chair.
Oh, I love those. I love that. Kind of
It was, Damien was the first of his family to leave Ireland.
Yeah.
And he's the youngest of 15. And his eldest sister, the matriarch, was frantic with worry that her baby was going to America. And she had a call from a woman who lived there. And she said, don't worry at all. She says, it's just like Wicklow. And the minute she said that, Josie was perfectly at peace.
That was all it took.
And where we lived was just like Wicklow.
Really?
It was in the foothills of the Appalachians, just outside Birmingham itself.
Yeah.
And little windy roads and hills up and down. And it was absolutely beautiful.
That sounds stunning.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Do they have Spanish moss in the trees there? Is that a more Louisiana thing?
I don't think I know what Spanish moss is.
The nice thing that hangs off the trees.
Well, I'll say yes because you won't know if I'm lying or not.
You would have heard about it, sure.
We were surrounded by Spanish moss.
Now I have the image.
I don't want to burst your bubble.
Oh, there's mischief in there for sure. That's hence the name, isn't it? Isn't Donna that became Dana? Is that true?
Well, yeah, I didn't know that. It was actually the True of the Dana was the one I would have preferred.
Oh, really? The True of the Dana, yeah.
I definitely preferred that.
The other people.
But too late, I admitted it was because it was mischievous that I got the name. Nice of you to bring it up.
Reputation as a child for being a little bit Donna.
Yes.
That's absolutely fine. So come here, brush dancing. Tell us why. We would have thought dancing, surely someone who's been in music all her life, dancing would be a very comfortable place to dwell.
Well, I never studied Irish dance. And it's a particular discipline.
Yeah.
I did ballet and I loved it.
Right.
And I wanted to do both, but at that time you weren't allowed because the arms were different, the feet were different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did ballet.
Were you good at it?
A ballet?
Yeah.
Well, I did it from I was 6 till I was 17.
Really?
And I at one time wanted to teach it, but then Eurovision got in the way.
It did change your life.
Yeah.
And you're sitting down, aren't you, in that Eurovision? You don't...
I sat down.
There's no dancing.
No.
They missed a trick there.
A lot of countries thought I couldn't stand. Yeah, they'd always have a stool ready.
You're sitting in a stool.
Yes.
I think everywhere you went to the interviews.
Would you like a stool? Yes. And so when I walked in, Adam said, would you like to sit there? It just goes on. No, but...
You're sitting down now?
Yes, I'm sitting now. But yeah, I forgot what you asked me.
It was about dancing and I thought that would be a comfortable place. So you were good at ballet, but Irish dancing, it's a bit like speaking a squealg, isn't it? If we're nervous about it, we won't go near
it. It's very different.
Irish dancing can be similar.
Yeah. I did have an experience in Donegal during my political days when I went there and I was invited to an afternoon ceilidh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's a rite of passage for politicians,
oh,
isn't
Lord.
It?
Oh, Lord. And this very elegant, very distinguished 80-year-old gentleman asked me to be his partner in one of the dances.
Yeah.
I had to ask him, could I sit down? Because I couldn't breathe.
Oh, really? You flung you around?
I couldn't breathe and he was still going strong. So that kind of put me off. And then before that, a dear friend of mine, Bill Hughes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Bill Hughes?
Could do, of course,
he's a great producer.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, would I do Jigs and Reels?
Oh, that's right.
And I wasn't going to do it, but he's very persuasive.
Yeah, right, okay.
So I did it. I thought, 2 weeks, I'll be home. 1 week to learn the first dance and you don't get knocked out. Nobody gets knocked out. The next week, I'll be home. Well, I got through to the finals. But my partner was Ronan McCormick. And I was convinced he was trying to kill me on the first rehearsal. And then he said, let's take it up to speed.
Oh, and you did.
Oh, I nearly died.
It was kind of Irish dancing to modern music.
Okay. So you didn't really
This was much more pure, what you experienced.
Yes, you didn't get into the basics.
I see, yes. It wasn't time on a telly programme.
Well, no, but Ronan was such a fabulous dancer.
And this time you met Siobhan Manson from the Irish Dance Experience. This was in Clada Hall in Galway,
I believe.
And she was going to bring you through a class on brush dancing.
Yes. So I asked her what did she normally do? So she normally begins with the basic step, the 1, 2, 3.
Very good. And Indo 3.
I'd never started from the 1, 2, 3.
Aha, you were always flung into jigs and reels,
yeah,
and ceilidhs.
Flung into everything. So she taught me that. And the, you know, where you bring your leg up, hop, and you go to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
I never could get that right in my life. And she fixed that. And we did a little ceilidh dance first.
Very good.
Then we did the brush dance. And then we did river dance.
Oh, right.
Well, of course, she did river dance and I did the 1, 2, 3 beside her. But as I said to her, Shireen, I'll be able to say I did river dance now. And it was thrilling. I was nervous. I thought I might be going into a room full of people.
Mm-hmm.
And memories of Donegal ceilidh came back.
Yeah.
But and I was afraid she might be Ronan on speed, you know, Ronan McCormick. But she was absolutely lovely. She
was a one-on-one.
She was elegant. She looked just like the lead dancer should look in Riverdance.
Mm-hmm.
As my mother would say, there was more fat on a chip. So I knew this was the way to get fit. She said it was a cardio workout. It was. But it was, I don't know, I just really enjoyed it.
Did you?
I really enjoyed it.
Did all of your nervousness of, I can't do this dancing, even the basics, melt away?
Well, eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
And
came, 90 minutes, I think.
It came back abruptly when we were doing the brush dance.
It's hard, isn't it? That's legitimately hard.
The 1, 2, 3s around the brush are okay. Then you have to go over the brush back and forth.
Yeah.
That gets the heart going. And then you have to lift the end of the brush and you have to kind of swing it, your leg over it. And at that point, I said, you do that and I'll watch. You do that and watch.
Is it a normal sweeping brush?
No, it's a broom.
Oh, it's a broom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a broom. I wouldn't be the same with a brush.
Not great at sweeping, is it, the broom?
No, it doesn't look very elegant.
No, but it's, the witches seem to like it anyway.
Yeah, I didn't get on it, but I just watched it. And she was so good. So she does this with groups of, you know, tourists or students.
You got very special treatment because you're Dame Dana.
Oh, thank you.
So you got one of them. Well, usually it's a group. Obviously people prefer the group because it can melt into the background a little bit. And
I think so. But she was so lovely and very patient. And I am very unfit at the minute. And
I know you were telling our man, Adam, that you've been fit all your life. You've kept fit.
I've always been very fit. And now I'm not. And I'm also, it's not to do with weight. It's to do with fitness. Mm-hmm. But I'm overweight. So
You're hard on yourself.
Something. No, no, I'm I'm very honest, unfortunately, about myself.
Are you always worried about weight?
Well, I did a television programme with Daniel recently, and you never really see yourself until you watch yourself on television. True. Then you're 10 pounds heavier anyway.
That's what they say.
Oh, but my goodness, I look like a red blob. So
you look nothing of the sort, by the way, but it is.
You didn't see the programme, did you?
Well, looking at you now, you're absolutely, you look amazing, by the way.
I've lost a pound.
Just from the dancing?
I had to do something coming in to meet you.
Oh, for God's sake. Someone's saying, I've never met this delightfully witty side of Dana before. Loving this, Dana. We're all find out new things.
This is just me.
Yeah, it is. It's just you, unadulterated. I'll have to read out this other
one. How dare you?
My uncle, well, in showbiz, people put on a different front, but you're just yourself today. My uncle Anthony was Dana's singing teacher. This is from Brian and Derry.
Oh, thank you. Do you remember Anthony?
Do you remember an Anthony who was a singing teacher?
I do.
You had loads of them, I presume. But now you've got a dancing teacher.
Yes.
The irishdanceexperience.com is where you can book dancing lessons with Siobhan Manson. Mm-hmm. But you highly recommend it, despite being...
I do. And I would go back, you know, because I think it's a fun way to get the heart going. And especially if you're doing it in a group. I really think it's a healthy way, because you're not... It's not you and a machine.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's great endorphins out of it.
Yeah, really, truly.
It's music.
It's really good.
Will you be now dancing across the sweeping brush at home, or will you stick to the Ronaldo dribbling in the lawn?
I have to work on the dribbling first, and then I'll try dribbling with the brush.
How many grandchildren do you have, by the way?
Well, we have three in Ireland.
Yeah.
Sydney and Timmy and Ralph.
Lovely.
And
names.
We have two in Australia, and we have three in Africa.
Oh, wow. In Africa.
Your typical Irish family.
Scattered around the world.
Do
you get to see the ones in Africa and Australia?
They all came at Christmas. We all went there. We always try to do a family holiday.
Yeah.
So we all went. COVID, of course, ruined it for every family.
Sure, especially Australia.
So we went there for Christmas to Africa. And then everyone came for the summer, last summer, to Ireland, for my husband had a big birthday. That was lovely. We went down to Dingle, and the kids, they all kind of slotted age-wise. No fighting. There was no fighting.
Very rare.
Except among the adults. But there was no fighting among the children. It was really lovely.
And where in Africa are they based?
They're in Kenya, in Nairobi.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, so we went on safari, and
yeah,
it was... Something I would never have chosen to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you get those videos where they're going through the safari park.
I know, yeah.
And like a lion jumps up.
That's right. They're the only videos you see.
So that was my fear.
It's your fear, yeah.
Yeah.
So you get out of your comfort zone quite a lot. Very busy.
Yeah.
It is Eurovision time of the year. Do you get nostalgic when you hear it being mentioned in the news here and there and go, ah, that was me back in 1970?
You know, I've always watched Eurovision when I can. Didn't in America. When I came back, it had suddenly evolved to a different level because they were in stadiums, non-theatres.
Yeah.
That's very hard for an artist because you have to play to the stadium, but you have to have the intimacy of in somebody's living room.
For the TV.
Yeah, it's very hard. Yeah,
it was very intimate in your day, wasn't
yes.
it? It was a TV show really only.
In the theatre. So that was an adjustment. And I'd always get nervous when the Irish entrant was going on.
Is that because you put yourself into
their shoes? I could just feel what they were feeling.
Which is?
Heart pounding. You know, you really get nervous till they get through it. So I'd always feel that.
Wow. Do you kind of like, does your breath catch and go, is it fear or is it excitement?
Well, no, it's fear. It's anxiety.
I gather your main memory of winning in 1970 was the homecoming, coming home.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was really wonderful.
An Aer Lingus plane with your name on the side of it.
Like, who'd have thought? A wee girl from the flats in the Bogside. And when we left, there was two cleaners and a porter waved us goodbye.
Is that right, on the way out?
Yeah, no, that's the truth. Okay. I went in to use the loo and the two cleaners were in there and so going to Eurovision, and then she called the porter and they waved us goodbye. And we came back and they were, oh my, there's thousands hanging off the building. Anytime wow. I come into Dublin or out of Dublin and by the old building, I just visualise it.
What is the name of the street in Derry in your honour?
Oh, and it's not in Derry, it's in County Down.
Oh, is it?
Dana Place.
Dana Place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Johnny Logan must be furious.
Oh, Johnny. Do you know, I've known Johnny since he was a little boy. Do you know his father was a very, very famous Irish tenor?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Now, am I educating you now?
You are.
And his daddy is from Derry.
Right.
Yeah. His singing name was Patrick O'Hagan. And he was his own name was Sherrod. And Johnny, I met him, I was about 15 and I don't know what age. Johnny was a few years younger. I'm so proud of Johnny Logan.
You were all friends with the former Eurovisions
yes.
winners.
Yes.
Linda Martin, is she a pal?
Linda, I've known since the 70s. We've been friends since then. And she's a formidable woman.
She told us in this programme she's considering a run of the Auras.
And she has every right to be. As soon as she gets to be 35, she can do it.
Has she been in touch with you about since
well,
you have experience of doing it twice?
No, she hasn't been in touch yet. But, you know, we'll see how she gets on if she decides to go that route. But she's a bit young at this time.
Now, I think you might have gone over to 35 because you've run twice before.
Yes.
You snuck in, obviously, the first time in 97.
I suppose I can't say I lied about my age.
No. Your experience was absolutely grueling and just about survived it, I would say. What would your advice be to people considering running for this unmerciful election?
Well, I tell you, I was the first independent that was ever nominated.
That's right, through the county council.
And one of the reasons I ran was because the presidency belongs to the people. And yet it was only the political parties who had the keys to the park.
Yes.
And it was so undemocratic. And I think maybe because in the north, we'd seen the result of a lack of democracy.
I don't can't get help to vote in the north either.
No, I have to speak up if I think somebody is not being treated right, you know, and often you don't want to speak up, but you do, and you do that too. And you have every right to speak your mind. You don't have to agree with you or agree with you, but I really admire that in you. You speak your mind. And we're in a country where you should be able to do it. But I always have a grasp for independence mm-hmm. because it's a harder road. And you have to really believe and want to do it as an independent. But, you know, I would love to, you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see a young family in the park. Because young families are being battered today. It's so hard for them. Financial pressures and trying to keep up jobs and mortgages. I'd love a young family in the park that would relate with what is really our present and our future.
You like the symbolism of that?
Oh, yeah, not just the symbolism, but this connecting and knowing what they need and just supporting them.
Did you do you regret running for the president twice?
No, I don't regret anything I've done because I did it the second time, especially because of the constitutional protection that we needed and to highlight that. Mm-hmm. But that was a truly terrible time.
True. That's what I wonder that you must think, I wish I didn't do that. Have you properly recovered from it? No appears to be the answer. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you, but I can see that you're upset. And this obviously people will know there were false accusations against your family and so on. A very thoroughly unpleasant time. And you've cheered us up this morning, I can tell you.
Do you know, it's like a well of grief.
Wow. This would be the kind of thing you would have to advise contenders for the Oras.
Yes, you have to absolutely believe that it's what you have to do. And not just for yourself, for a reason, you know, for the good of other people, that you hope it will be. And then you take whatever comes.
I'm sorry if I've upset you.
I am sorry. Oh, Lord, it's well seen that men don't wear mascara. No.
Are you all right?
I'm okay as long as I don't think about it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary thing to have gone through. You have great faith. That must help you.
It does. And the love from the people of this country.
I'll give you some messages here from people who are sending you lovely things.
Only the good ones.
They're only good ones. Lovely to hear Dana on the radio. It was a huge moment for Ireland when the Eurovision was such a big part of her lives. She always seemed so calm and serene. That's true. Dana's such a breath of fresh air, so funny. I met her for the first time last year. I heard her sing in my local chapel. She sings with such feeling. I've also managed to receive one of her hugs. God bless her, says Porrick.
<That's>
you give out your hugs, that's for sure. I was 13 when Dana won the Eurovision and was obsessed with her. I had a scrapbook full of newspaper pictures of her. I actually sketched Dana and sent the image to her. She sent me a lovely autographed photo of herself in return, which made my day. Please say hello to me, to her from me. That's from Dimpna.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'd say she voted for you. 2 weeks ago, I asked Dana, would she visit my auntie, sister Katie, in Taylor's Hill in Galway? Both she and her husband visited. Dana spent an hour there and sang all kinds of everything. My aunt, who has dementia, sang the song with her.
She knew all the words. All the words. It was so beautiful. And this is my 55th anniversary. And actually on the 21st of March, I was invited to come to the National School in Rush. Mm. Great headmaster there. And the first class sang for me.
Yeah, this was on the way out to Eurovision in 1970.
No, this was this year.
Up. Oh, sorry, this year.
This year. And the first class sang it for me with all the actions and another little class with them, and was so beautiful, Oliver.
That's lovely. We'll enjoy that anniversary. And thanks so much for coming in and trying the brush dancing and being such a
Thank
great
you.
Sport.
And I do apologise.
Don't at all. I'll give you another hug on the way out.
That's
Dana. Dame Dana, I should say. Back shortly after these. We'll take a break.